Eric Frederick from Wallpaper.
I'm Arjun Singh, also from Wallpaper.
You don't know, is it Wallpaper or Wallpaper?
You know,
we need to have a deep discussion about how to pronounce.
I'm gonna go with Wallpaper.
I'm gonna go with Wallpaper.
That's like equal accenting on both words.
I was accenting the period at the end, actually.
A little history, please.
Wallpaper started as a as just a way to sort of blow off steam while I was making my first prog rock opus with my rock group Facing New York. A couple bedroom sort of EPs produced by me. Brought this guy on board on drums.
Hi.
2007, it's about January of 07. Start getting more serious about the songwriting. In 2008, Ricky Reed appears from thin air and start developing the record Due to Face over 2008.
How did you meet Ricky Reed?
It was weird. I was actually at the mall with my sister, and this guy came up out of nowhere and tried to grab her butt.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was like, dude, are you serious right now? He's like, and he looks me dead in the eye, and he says, I'm a mean R&B singer. And I said, I've been looking for one of those. And that's it.
Wow.
That's the end of the story. And then we just put Doo Doo Face out, and that's that. Ricky's the sort of lyrical brainchild. I do the production, and Arjun
I play drums live. But you see, you're kind of lucky, though, because you don't have to work with Ricky as much as I do at shows and stuff.
Well, you have to deal with him. I got to deal with him in the studio.
I guess that's true.
I mean, like, you can't imagine what that guy's like in the studio. The bills we rack up from serious drug usage and, like, alcohol and... You know.
Well, do you even have any idea how hard it is to practice with the guy? He never shows up.
Well, that's what I would figure. I mean, so, case closed.
Yeah.
You were offered a big label deal and like 75K, decided to wait, and I'll tell the sad part for you, but then we can go from there. And then the deals, you know, it's kind of like Howie Mandel wasn't there for you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if Howie Mandel was around back then, you would have at least had Deal or No Deal, and the guy upstairs would have been able to go, let's see, didn't accept the 75K. Well, we'll open up the briefcases, and we'll see what the deal is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, now here you are on the cusp of a CD release, an article in a local newspaper that really lays it all on the line. It was a really brave article for you to participate in because it wasn't a hype article. It wasn't a... Wallpaper is about to become, you know, it wasn't the NME article that hopefully you'll get someday soon, but it was, you know, do you think you can ride the buzz to really take this to the next level?
I don't think we're riding. I think we're still, I mean, I think everything that we're standing on, like all the foundation is foundation that we've built and we're not being carried by anybody else. And that was the decision that I made when I started this and when I started my rock group also was to never depend on anyone else, whether it's music industry or it's critical buzz or anything. Like, you have to be responsible for yourself the whole time. And if you are, you never have to worry. If you're working hard, you're taking the next step. You know, as long as you're writing good songs and you don't get fat.
If we were doing this 10 years ago before the age of social media, you just out of curiosity, is there anything you could pinpoint you immediately would have done differently so far?
If we didn't have social media to rely on?
Yes.
You're asking?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's my belief that, I mean, I've sort of come of age while social media has been in this exponential boom. And at the same time, there's been the exponential boom of the number of bands and how easy it is to make a pretty good sounding recording from your bedroom or your friend's bedroom. And thus, like, as social media has gotten a lot more sort of saturated, the number of bands and the ability to stand out as a band has also become that much greater.
It's insane.
Exactly.
It's beyond insane. Yeah, I know.
You know, and what my belief is that at that point, I mean, before all the social media took off, it would still just be about great songs. And it would rely probably more on touring, but still as much on networking in the real world, meeting people, et cetera, you know. But it still comes down to great songs, consistently writing great songs, and making sure you use whatever technology you have to get them out there, you know. And there was technology in the late 80s, and there's some now, and you know. But it's always going to be about great songs. You can't do anything unless you have songs.
South by Southwest, when I was there at one of the shows, I think it was Beauty Bar, if I remember correctly. What was really interesting is there was a big Bay Area contingent there, which is which follows you, you know, and that's great. Now, I imagine that there were some folks there who were new to Ricky Reed who didn't get it. Do you kind of look out on the audience and you say, I kind of wish that I could give them a little something before, or do you just say, F it, you know what, if they don't get it, that's okay?
Yeah, I mean, even in the songwriting process, from the songwriting process to Ricky's, you know, live performances, we know that there's always the risk that people are gonna not get it, but I think the music and the material is strong enough to where at face value you can enjoy it without sort of understanding the satire and the whole sort of construct behind it. And as far as live goes, I mean, yeah, sure, there's some crickets sometimes when Ricky's saying weird stuff, but I mean, that's also funny to us, you know?
The other thing that I want to make sure people understand is that you do a lot of other things. You know, wallpaper remix is becoming a groovy thing to have. We talked off camera about my friends, the Morning Benders. Is it okay if the remix is suddenly eclipsed the band itself?
I think it's just a good way for people to hear about the group, because in the remixing, you can hear a lot of the same brain that goes into the wallpaper material. Obviously, it's the same guy producing it, you know. I don't feel any worry about the remixes eclipsing the original material. Even if they did get bigger for some reason, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be a problem to me. I wouldn't mind it.
So let's get into the deep stuff. You know, one of the things that was in this article that a majority of my audience probably will not have read, all of this work and you're not getting rich. You think Doo-Doo Face is the ticket?
I think it's a big step in the right direction. I think that it's diverse enough and strong enough to where we can continue to promote it for a very long time while we develop a new record and achieve a lot of our goals. But it's hard to say. I mean, if I know the material resonates with people, but sometimes you have to sort of, to reach a very wide audience, you have to go through somebody and prove to them that it will resonate with people instead of just giving it directly to people. So it's a matter of, with the tools that we have currently, without anybody else helping, aside from what we already have going on, you know, can we do it on our own terms? That's the question. I think the record's strong enough. It's just going to be a matter of if we work hard enough and make the right connections.
Again, going a little deeper, no one, from what I can tell, was able to convince you not... This is like a double negative time. We're doing the double negative and you know where this is going.
Math class.
I'll bet you can finish this question for me. Mm-hmm. No one was able to convince you not to go for the title. Mm-hmm. Now, just out of curiosity, was that because Wallpaper is about Ricky and you figured that you had to keep the brand personality? Or are folks missing the whole point here and they're just really, and I've read the whole thing about what it really means, but the fact of the matter is, and I'm gonna be very pedantic for a second. Mm-hmm. People go into a record store or someone like me goes on the air and says, that was wallpaper from the album Doo-Doo Face, right? Yeah. And there's many ways I can do it, you know? I mean, yeah. I could do it in many voices. That was wallpaper from the album Doo-Doo Face, you know? And you know, so I guess what I'm asking is, you know, were you being steadfast because you just were being steadfast and you were believing it? I'm not saying you were standing on a soapbox, or were you saying to yourself that a lot of the things over the years that you've believed in that you like weren't necessarily called the White Album?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think
I'm giving you an out, by the way, by doing that.
Yeah,
by asking the question that way. I didn't attack it.
You know, well, I mean, I don't think those two options are mutually exclusive. And I think that, yeah, exactly. The title is actually not a Rickyism at all. It's the thing it's the most honest thing about the record, because the title Doo-Doo Face applies specifically and only to funk music, and it doesn't. Even though it seems silly and zany to people, it's not a part of the satire of the record. It's not a part of a criticism of consumer culture or anything. It is a little Dadaist, for sure, to name your album Doo-Doo Face, but it's something I had to do for myself when I was making the record and I was and really having a lot of trouble with Ricky. Something I had to do for me. And when people tried to shake us on it or you know, tell us they wouldn't work with the group based on it, it's just like, you know, that's my decision. I'm sticking with it.
So is it you're thinking that maybe people will just listen to the record and get to the friggin' music?
I think so. I mean, I don't think I do think that the album title for some people might discourage them, but I mean, at the same time, like, if those people don't want to listen to the record, that's their prerogative, you know? I was thrilled when we made the list of the top worst album titles of the year list. I mean, that was just, for me, it's like, all right, well, we got somebody's attention. Fair, fine, and you know, that's that's great. Spin knows who we are.
You are a one-man Buzz army. Are you going to let people now, like, you have this here record company, are you going to let other people do it for you? Or do you still, after some of the things you've been through, just not trust people to represent you?
That's totally a good question, isn't it?
It's a very good question.
I definitely, I can definitely be known as sort of a micromanaging kind of guy. I have like a very high level of sort of, as I like to think about it, which I'm sure other people could disagree, of quality control of the sort of wallpaper brand and product and everything. So artwork that's coming through or almost anything related to the group, I keep a pretty tight reins on. And then as far as how we push it out there, how we market it out there, you know, I think you have to be so smart in today's age because it's so easy to be the type of group that, you know, just you flood people with you to a point or a way that you're annoying or this or that. Like, you have to be always there, but in a way that is sort of inobtrusive. And, you know, it's like a plate of warm food and it's going to be warm and fresh forever. And just, you know, whenever you want to eat it, it's here.
So you still don't have a real major manager or publicist, right?
We do have a publicist working the record, a third party hired by Eenie Meenie, who's fantastic, woman named Sheila Kenny. It's for a company called Right On PR. They do Matt and Kim and some other great indie artists.
Cool.
But management-wise, no. I mean, by default, I handle a lot of it. Arjun also has been picking up like a lot of tour management responsibilities, logistics stuff, which I am just terrible with.
If
he's
you can
great at
see
it.
Arjun smiling right now, ear to ear, with the happiness of that, it's like, wait a minute, I'm a friggin' drummer. I'm not a tour manager, for crying out loud.
I do what needs to be done.
Do you get union rates? Let's get to the important stuff.
Oh yeah.
You need team. You need to get teams. Okay.
Well, Ricky.
I want to see how much trouble I can cause. Teamster, baby. Become a Teamster, man. It's the way to go. It's the way to get rich.
Union Local 220.
Yeah, put the synthesizer over there. You got to get talking like that. That's what you need to do.
Some Nextel walkie-talkies and stuff.
Yeah.
Push the talks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You need to do that. Do you really see yourself a few years from now as going on stage as Ricky, or do you think that's just going to be the character for a little while, and then you're going to turn around and say, you know, and I can use examples, right? Buster Poindexter. He took a break from the Dolls, and he made some solo albums that did and reviews, mm-hmm. And then he said, okay, I got to create something. And his only top 10 hit was his Buster Poindexter. Mm-hmm. And then he finally got tired of doing that and went back to being David Johansen and reformed the New York Dolls, mm-hmm. You know, and he is who he is. But have you thought about, like, 2 or 3 years from now, whether you want to be going on stage as this persona, or at that moment, the music will provide and you don't have to do that anymore?
No, I mean, the thing about it is that I love, 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 love the songwriting, the performative aspect, everything about Wallpaper, even though it's satirical and it's fun, you know, like, I can do this and still do, you know, all of the other projects.
So can it last?
I
mean, do you think that the bit?
Yeah.
You know, because the fact of the matter is that when you're writing for Ricky,
yeah,
you know, you have to write a certain way. You can't go on stage as Ricky and start singing a passionate straight love song. It's not going to happen because people are just going to look and they'll laugh in all the wrong places.
I love it. I mean, the thing is that Ricky is he's a soapbox. You know, he is, through him, a lot of ideas. Although he's clueless to all of it, I sometimes believe that you can say a lot more, you can be a lot more political, you can really get to the point of things through satire, metaphor, irony, and for me, that'll never get old.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Okay. And what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then a bunch of songs by other artists in between.